You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound. The sound of the start of another edition of the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for finding us wherever you may be. I'm your host, Mike Blewett, along with my cohort, George Kurtz, and we're going to be taking you around the world of NFL and fantasy football for the next 2 hours right here on the Roto Experts in the morning. And George, we got kicked off on Thursday night with, unfortunately, yet another dud of a contest. It included a weather delay. It included a controversial hit. But the bottom line is the Packers come out on top in a dominating performance, 35-14 over the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was all that shocking. I think we expected the Packers to blow them out. The biggest question out of this game, besides the health of Devontae Adams, which seems to be heading in the right direction, is does Trubisky take over now? Is that the last start for Mike Glennon? You would assume it really should be. What is Glennon got 8 turnovers now in the first 4 games? So he's as Tony would say, he's not getting the job done. I think they have to move on here. What do you have to lose here? You got a long break now. I think they play, next Monday night? So you got an extra day. Plus you had the Thursday, so an extra 4 days of practice. So I got to think it's Trubisky time in Chicago.
Yeah, John Fox was asked a number of questions during the post-game press conference about it and about replacing Glennon mid-game. And I think he was right in saying that the way things were going in that game, I didn't think it was prudent to put him in at that time. And it was already a blowout. I think it would have been impossible for a rookie at Green Bay to come in and spark the offense, to put air quotes around it. So the bottom line is, I think you're right. You really want to wait for some sort of long break like this to make a change. The turnovers can't be coming fast and furious when you're a veteran quarterback. If there's one thing they would have counted on him to do, is not do this with 8 turnovers in 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can't do that, right? That's what he was brought there to do, really manage the game. And some of those turns are just strange, kicking the ball. I mean, that may not be his fault. Maybe the center snapped it too early. We don't know.
Romo threw him under the bus on that, actually. I was with you initially, but I heard Romo explain it. He said it's Glennon's fault. He didn't set up properly, and he threw off the timing of the snap. And you know, it was a freak bounce off his knee. But to your point, that was kind of an unlucky play.
Yeah, it was a funny play to watch. But hey, if you had Rodgers, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, you.
Yeah, so we'll talk a little bit more after the break about it. But Aaron Rodgers, efficient, 18 of 26, only 179 yards. But who cares? 4 touchdowns. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit more about injuries. Ty Montgomery was running okay early and then was immediately out with a chest injury. Some debated fractured ribs. That has not been confirmed as of yet. Jamal Williams comes in, the guy that we've been waiting on. He goes out with a knee injury. It looks like just a sprain, but we'll recap those injuries, which they were multiple. And exactly what's going to happen with the Bears next. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, it's Mike and George. We're the Roto Experts, back after this.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George taking you around the world in the NFL. We'll continue on the Bears-Packers for a couple of minutes before we turn the page over to the news of the day, giving you a rundown of injuries, a couple of significant ones, and so many questionable guys. And it's that time of year. You're going to have to just kind of peek in at various times of day to throughout the day on Sunday to make sure guys are starting. You got J.H.I. questionable early in the morning in London, and then you got Doug Baldwin, a game-time decision late at night. So, George, all throughout the day we're going to have to deal with injuries.
Yeah, it's going to be that's what football is, right? Jai's going to play, so I'm not worried about him. Baldwin, yeah. He looks more 50-50 game time, but I do believe he's trending in the right direction that he could go to. But the problem is that's a 4 o'clock game. I mean, actually, I'm sorry, that's the Sunday night game.
8:30, yeah.
I'm not, I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm not waiting around to find out. I'd like to start, I'm sure, but I can't do that. I'm not taking a zero as a late night graduate. But Pete Carroll goes, you know what? We could beat Indianapolis without him. Let's get him rested. And that could very well what he believes what he's thinking here, or it tightens up during warm-ups, whatever it might be. No, I'm not taking that chance. Baldwin won't be in my lineup.
Yeah, we'll be taking your calls later today. There obviously going to have be some injury concerns. So if you do want to get in touch with us today, you can do so on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. It's K-U-R-T-Z. Blewett is B-L-E-W-I-T-T. And if you want to give us a call, phone lines will be open basically after this segment. So it's 844-843-6879, 84-FNTSY, and we'll take your calls as they come in. So back to the game on Thursday night. It was obviously ugly early. The two Glennon turnovers right out of the gate, and Aaron Rodgers did take advantage. You know, they had 14 points inside the first 10 minutes of the game, despite guys going down for them left and right. I mentioned during the break, so the Devontae Adams hit is obviously probably the most high-profile thing that came out of that game. You said from a fantasy perspective, it's going to be possibly a shift from Glennon to Trubisky. By the way, for the record, you would make the change now, right?
Yeah, I think unless you're away for the bye week, and offhand, I don't know when the Bears' bye week is, it makes the most sense because you get the as long a layoff as you could possibly get. You had a Thursday game to a Monday night game. So you get a couple of extra days for the practice here. And I think most importantly, Glennon just doesn't look good. My only thing would be is I have to assume that John Fox thinks that Trubisky is ready, or as ready as he's going to be for a rookie. Yeah, I would just throw him in there for the hell of it. He's not ready. No, I'm not doing that. But if I think, you know, hey, it's time, Glennon's not getting the job done, we're not going anywhere anyway. So, yes, I'd want to get him in there.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, if there was one thing that he was there to do, it's not turn the ball over. So I just don't. The problem is everybody has said his college head coach, his pro head coach has said he's not ready. He's going to need more time to develop within the offense in practice and in eventually during games. But look, we all know how impatient teams are. But I actually wouldn't consider this to be a knee-jerk maneuver. They're 1-3. The veteran quarterback they signed is a mess. So what are you waiting for? You're waiting till they're 1-7 and you're about to be fired as a head coach? Because he will be. I think he will be anyway. His seat is piping hot right now, and I don't think the Bears are going to win a lot of games this year, so they're going to fire him anyway. So why wouldn't you take a chance here, even though it's against possibly your gut call?
Yeah, I don't know if his seat may be hot, but it's not his fault. I mean, once all those they weren't going anywhere anyway. Yeah. But once all those receivers went down, the Bears were toast. There's just no one to throw to, and that's also a consideration here. You know, will you be setting him back by starting with no receivers? I mean, your top two get hurt, they're done. And what's he going to throw to? Kendall Wright and Zach Miller and a whole bunch of running again? That's really the offense right now. You know, the Bears, they're probably going to have another top five, top ten pick again this season. So there is a consideration there that maybe it's not the smart thing to start him. But if you, I think as you sort of insinuated, if you don't start him now, then when?
It's
when
week nine,
do it?
By the way, that bye week.
So it's half the season. And listen, that could be in play as well. I think it has to be if I'm John Fox, I would hope this is an organizational decision. You know, that listen, this is the best time to start him. Or, hey, we're going to go with Glennon until week nine. We're going to give Trubisky another month of practices. And then we'll give him a two weeks for week nine game, the week 10 game. You know, then we'll put him in there and see how he looks over the last eight games of the season. That is certainly legit as well. You know, it's not like they have to throw Trubisky in there to save their season. Their season is done no matter what they do.
Yeah. It's one of those key questions about organizations, right? You have to have a lot of honesty about your roster and a lot of honesty and integrity about how you're evaluating. And it's hard, right? You don't want to sit in a room right now and be like, look, we're 1-3, pull off a couple of wins here. We're right back in the mix, but are we really going to do that? Do we have too many issues all around the roster defensively, loss of receivers. Can we pull? Can we turn this around if Mitch comes in here and sparks the offense? And I think if you're being honest, you'd have to say probably not. So in that sense, I think, George, you're right. It would be if they didn't do it and then did wait until the bye week, I wouldn't criticize them for that.
No, neither. But they honestly believe that Trubisky is not ready. You know, a month into the season, he's not ready. He needs more practice time. Then I have no issues with that. Yeah, it's you have to have that come to Jesus moment with yourself, Mike. And as this is the team, as an organization, we suck. Yeah, you know, when that's why you throw Trubisky in there. We're not going to go 3-0 in the next four games because he's in there. No, that's probably not going to happen. RTR, best case scenario, might be 1-2. Your season's already done. You know, which, listen, they should have known that coming into the season that it wasn't going to be all that great anyway. Even if the receivers stayed healthy, this team was in trouble. So what you need to do right now is best for Trubisky. Is it to start week 5? Is it to start week 9? Is it to wait till next year? That is by far the only decision they need to make. What is best for Trubisky? If he's your quarterback of the future, and obviously they think he is, then you need to do what's best for him.
I completely agree. Their next game, by the way, isn't until the Monday night game on October 9th, so they even have an extra day beyond the 10 days to make a decision like that. So their upcoming schedule is hosting the Vikings at Baltimore, hosting the Panthers, and going to New Orleans. So it's not murderer's row, but they do have two and a half tough defenses with Vikings and Ravens coming up, and the Panthers kind of hit or miss. Their problems are more offensive than defensive. But in any event, that's their schedule for the next month. Let's turn back over to the game. I think the shocking thing to me, and it's part due to the game flow, is that they couldn't really get anything going in running the ball. Jordan Howard, 18 carries, 53 yards. Cohen, 6 carries for 24 yards. He caught another 4 passes for 24 yards. So he ends up with, you know, not much, not what you expected. And in a full-point PPR, he's not even getting you to double-digit points. Jordan Howard does score the touchdown, though, to bail you out, George.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did. He bailed you out with that touchdown. Listen, they were down. So running the ball really wasn't going to be an option there. They were going to have to throw the ball more. And this is what's going to happen with this team a lot. And it's going to hurt Jordan Howard owners because how much can you run the ball if you're down 10, 14 points, especially as quickly as they were? You can't establish anything. You got to put that ball in the air and try and catch up. That hurts. And that's another thing that the Bears have to look at. You know, do they want Trubisky throwing the ball 35, 40 times? I mean, that could be good. Get some more reps, obviously. Could be bad because it's going to be probably a little ugly football there. So, if I'm a Howard owner, I'm a little worried about this, Mike.
Yeah, so the problem really on the receiving core, George has detailed the leading receiver the other night from a catch perspective is Deontay Thompson. He led in targets with 9-5 catches for 44 yards. Deontay Thompson adds some value if you get return yards in certain leagues. George and I are in a league that does that. But to have him consistently be the number one wide receiver, I don't think you can bank on it. Kendall Wright catches the touchdown, four catches for 51 yards and a touchdown. If you had him in a flex in a deeper league, I think he bails you out with that touchdown as well. So Packers running backs, Ty Montgomery goes out. Jamal Williams goes out. It looks like a knee sprain. He avoided structural damage to any of the ligaments. Ty Montgomery, I think it's still nebulous. We didn't really know what was wrong with him going into the game. We didn't really know what was wrong with him during the game. And now I think if you're a Ty Montgomery owner, you got to be worried because Aaron Jones took over for 13 carries, 49 yards, and a touchdown. But virtually nobody started him.
No, if you started Aaron Jones, you made a mistake. You're in an extremely deep league as he was the running back 3 coming for Green Bay coming into the game. They're saying now Montgomery might not even miss this week, that the rib injuries aren't as bad as they expected it to be. Strange. Very strange what's going on there.
Look it to me.
Actually, it did look it to me. Yeah, he may have been
I said, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. I didn't clarify. It did look serious to me.
No, to me it didn't, because you can never see a hit where he got nailed in the ribs unless the injury was coming into the game, you know.
That was my concern that he left so quickly. Something must have been wrong coming in.
Yeah, so I was surprised that the injury seemed to be so bad, but now they're saying it might not be so bad. Williams, same thing. As you already pointed out, it's not structural. It's just more of a tissue injury, a slight sprain, which is actually a tear, but still not all that bad. Both could play this week. Both could miss this week. It'll be a fun time deciding how much money to spend on Aaron Jones.
Yeah, that's a good point. Aaron Jones will be hot on the waiver wire, even if it's just a one-week stream. Jordy Nelson, two more touchdowns. Randall Cobb, a touchdown. Devontae Adams, a touchdown. You know, they didn't put up tons of yards, but they didn't need to. I'll cover the Devontae Adams injury and the hit after the break as we go through all the injury reports next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's Mike and George back after this.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Final countdown. If you have Doug Baldwin in one of your leagues because he's hurt, and it's going to stink that you are going to have to play somebody else in his place because he plays at 8:30, and it's a sweet matchup because they're playing the Colts, and it's just about the last week you wanted him to be injured, but he is. So we'll get to him.
Vontae Davis is back, so it's not a sweet matchup anymore.
I guess that's fair.
I'm trying to point out the good things with benching him.
Assuming he's going to track him the whole game. I don't know that was going to happen. But to your point you made earlier, I think it's going to be a tough guy to try and ride out into Sunday night.
Unless, Mike, you have a really bad second choice, which could happen. Right. I have answered some questions where, you know, the choices then are like Jermaine Kearse against Jacksonville. All right, I probably don't want to go in that direction either. Maybe then I will roll the dice.
Yeah.
But that's really what it comes down to. But if you're talking about, I've had guys go, well, my second choice is Emmanuel Sanders. That's easy for me then.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll go on Sanders. I mean, there's no reason to start to take a chance on this yearly. You got a top-notch wide receiver anyway. But that's what it comes down to. It's an 8:30 game. I think he's probably going to play, but I'm not going to roll a dice, and I don't want to. I'm a conservative owner. I don't want to take that zero.
I agree. If you have healthier options, you're going to have to roll with it in most instances. I just want to mention, we do have a poll up on Twitter. At FNTSY Radio, when should Mitch Trubisky take over at QB for Mike Glennon? Right now, after the bye week, which is week 10, or next season? So you got those are your options there. Thank you. Kudos to George for coming up with the options. I was had a little bit of writer's block there and couldn't figure that out. So in any event, we're over to the injuries, and we'll start with the Devontae Adams one because he obviously has a concussion. Based on the hit that he took the other day. And this was, unfortunately, in a nationally televised game, the exact type of thing that the NFL is trying to eliminate. And Danny Trevathan came hard into Adams when he was being held up. My mouthpiece knocked out. He's basically out cold on the field. It's a bad look all the way around. There was a scrum after it. Players were obviously really ticked off. It was the type of hit, George, that frankly, even before they started cracking down on these hits, would have created some issues on the field and would have garnered a flag. I'm not talking about the new rules of people claiming that the NFL is softer. This is in old school football. This is something he would have gotten flagged for, helmet to helmet, straight up. And unfortunately, Trevathan is probably looking at a suspension. Your thoughts?
I think he's definitely looking at a suspension. Yeah, I'd be shocked if he doesn't. Right, the NFL wants to get rid of these hits, and this is the reason why is because of all these lawsuits and everything else is going on. They have to make it seem like they're doing all they can to keep the game as safe as possible. I know that sounds ridiculous for a game with all the contact, but that's what they're trying to do here. So I would be shocked, floored, if he doesn't get suspended. He led with the head, the crown of the helmet at that, to another player's head, knocked him out. I mean, yeah, he's a. And there's no. If they didn't suspend him, I would like to hear a justification for not doing it. I'm trying to listen to the ref's justification for not throwing him out in the first place.
I agree with you completely. And this is the issue I've had. Look, what you said about the lawsuits and all that stuff, I agree with. But I can't totally dismiss that they are, in fact, trying to make it safer. Yes, they are very slow to come around, and if you look back 5 years ago, they weren't making these changes, and they were sort of denying concussion protocol needing to be a part of the game. Agree with all of it. But they are, in fact, trying to make it safer now. But my point I've made for many times, and you just illustrated, the way this is really going to stop, suspensions are a good tool to utilize. Kick the guys out in the middle of the game, and it will really start to dramatically drop. The suspensions have been few, frankly, but if guys start lining people up like this and knocking them out, which has obviously been reduced from years past, but if they still continue to do this stuff like what Trevathan did, kick him out of the game on the spot. What are you waiting for? You don't have to get him a second flag to kick him out. It was an egregious penalty. Just throw him out of the game.
What have we heard for a while now? The only way you get through to a player is to take away his playing time. And how do you take away that playing time? It's get him off the field.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, and I agree with you. I completely agree. I think they should. I know we hear all that there was none of the refs really had a good view of it. There's 8 or 9 of you officials out there. None of you could see this.
The
flag was thrown right away.
Yeah, his mouthpiece was out. So the whole thing.
I understand it's hard for a ref because you're throwing a player out of the game. You want to make sure you're doing it correctly. But that seemed to be about as obvious as it could be. That it was head to head. You know, I mean, I don't know what else you need here. To throw somebody out of a game. And I think eventually somebody needs to be made an example of as well. Now, I've mentioned before, I ref from men's hockey leagues. And there are times when a game is rough and the games get out of hand, you make an example out of somebody. You give somebody a 5-minute misconduct because you're making an example. And guess what? All the BS stops after that because you've made your point. Same thing here. I mean, make an example out of somebody and hopefully some of this will stop. It's a fast game. I get it. You know, a lot of these hits, I completely disagree with a lot of the flags, especially the ones on receivers in the middle where the defender had a half a second to react. The ball's in the air. He's going for the ball, going for the play. You don't know. And there's slight head contact and they give him a penalty for it. That's not a situation where I want to see the player thrown out. But this was not that. Ty Montgomery was already bottled up with two other defenders. He wasn't going anywhere. I mean, this is really he was set up to be killed, and that's what happened here.
Yeah. So, in any event, you're right. The game checks are and missing playing time are the only way it's going to get through. I think Trevathan's looking at a suspension. I don't think he's been. He may have been fined for this kind of stuff before, but I actually don't know his fine history. So I don't know what the level of the suspension is going to be. He's not on Avante's perfect level, so it may only
be a game.
But I think they have to make it a game just to really kind of set the tone for stuff like this. Anyway, moving over, and we got a little bit of good news via his Twitter. Devontae Adams is home from the hospital, feeling better. He's obviously going to be dealing with concussion protocol. I think you'd have to have serious reservations about him playing in the next game, right, George?
Well, you know, you don't know what concussions, Mike. I mean, some guys get over it quickly, some guys don't. We just had Sammy Watkins, who had it the Thursday night game before, the one against the Niners. He just got cleared. I believe it was yesterday. Might have been Thursday. All right, so same thing could happen here with Devontae Adams. So I don't want to say he's definitely going to miss next game. He may not. Concussions are just different for everybody. It's probably the injury we know the least amount about, right? Because there's never a timetable, day to day, week to week, month to month. We've seen guys who can never get past it, and other guys get past it right away. There's just no way of telling.
They're at Dallas next week, rematch of the NFC playoff game, which I actually attended. So, in any event, George, let's go over to the injuries. We mentioned Jay Ajayi, questionable, but he did practice on Friday. That's a London game. I kind of buried that story. You should know that tomorrow you're going to need to make sure that you set your lineups, frankly, tonight, or wake up early and get it done, because 9:30 Eastern Sunday morning, Saints at Dolphins in London.
Yeah, number 938. This one's on Fox. We don't have to go searching for it online, so we'll be able to watch it a little easier this time. As you mentioned, the most important thing is you got the Indianapolis will be up at 8 o'clock. You know, I'm actually much more worried about Willie Snead than I am Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
You know, Jay Ajayi, I expect to play. He expects to play. He said it over and over again. When they list him as questionable, it's because of the knee, and this may be a continuing thing all season, maybe the rest of his career, where he's always going to have issues with that knee. Willie Snead is much more of a worry for me. He had this late-week practice injury, and he's coming off 3-week suspension. Saints have a bye next week. I got to tell you, Mike, I'm not seeing much reason to start Snead tomorrow. You know, another guy. It's not a chance because it's the first game. So as long as you know if he's going to play or not. But even if he does play, is he going to play a full complement of snaps? Is he ready anyway? Would another week of practice help him? Or in this case, 2 weeks of practice? You know, so I own Snead in two leagues, and I'm deep enough at wide receiver where I've stayed away from him in both.
Yeah, I have him on my bench right now, and I don't see myself putting him out there for the reasons that you just mentioned. So those, to the Willie Snead owners that drafted him and stashed him, or to those of you that got creative on the waiver wire and picked him up a week early, as I did in one league, I think you're going to have to wait, unfortunately, until week six, until you see anything out of Willie Snead, because as George mentioned, they have a bye next week. So just keep an eye on it, but I don't think you can expect a full complement of snaps, as George just said. Next one down the list, John Ross and Tyler Eifert are out for the Bengals. Eifert obviously perpetually injured. Ross, the guy with the knee injury who said his knee was fine, is still dealing with a knee injury. It's his second week out. Moving over, Melvin Gordon is questionable, George, likely to play, but still, Mel Gordon, another running back, is kind of banged up.
Yeah, same thing, the knee, so that's somewhat of a problem. But, I mean, you'd have to be deeper than deep to be able to sit Melvin Gordon. I can't in any league. I don't have that kind of running back depth. Very few of us do. So Gordon goes, you're hoping for the best.
Yeah, hosting the Eagles, and Fletcher Cox, standout defensive lineman for the Eagles, is out. So that actually helps Gordon somewhat. As you said, if you got that kind of depth, you're in good shape. Moving over to the Jets, I know everybody loves to talk Jets, but Matt Forte is out. Bilal Powell has not exactly been the world beater that some people wanted it to be, but Elijah McGuire should see some carries here, George. Could work into a flex in some deeper leagues.
Yeah, this is a tough matchup. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the defense is good. You know, I don't know if it's the best of the NFL, like Jalen Ramsey said, but it was good to see that the Jets used Bilal Powell last week, right? First couple weeks of the season, they just pretty much ignored him for whatever reason. It's the Jets. Who the hell knows? But Matt Forte's got the toe injury, may or may not play. Powell should be certainly more a bigger part of the game plan, but that's a tough defense he's playing there. May not be the week to break him out anyway. Depends on what else I have there. And I would only use Powell at a PPR. Would not use him in a standard league.
Yeah, last one before the break. Michael Crabtree did not practice yesterday. He's questionable going up against the Broncos on Sunday.
Yeah, once again, I'm staying away here, Mike. Because for a couple of reasons, he's got the injury, so you're not going to know. It's a late game, so you may not know before your 1 o'clock games if that's where your backup is. And he's up against Denver in the no-fly zone. Why do I need to take that chance? Plus, they look terrible Sunday night against Washington. I'm staying away from Crabtree if at all possible.
Amari Cooper buried me. Buried me. He's the guy I own more than any other player, and he buried me the other night. So we'll come back. We'll wrap up the injuries and get to some calls if we have any. We'll answer some tweets if there's any of those. Mike and George back after this.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
We're back in the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're going to be taking calls here in a minute at 844-843-6879. Just wanted to wrap up the injury discussion from the previous segment. The Falcons have three defensive starters out, including Vic Beasley. So keep that in mind. I know the Bills are in a tough spot going here to Atlanta, but, George, at least it's a softer landing with those guys out. And the pass rush is obviously damaged for going up against Taylor as well.
You know, Mike, probably the question I received most this week is, do you bench Derek Carr? And Tyrod Taylor is always one of the options. Jared Goff's been a popular option, and Travis Etienne. Probably my top three options from people who have asked the question are to start one of those three over Carr. And if I had Tyrod Taylor as a no-brainer, I'm starting Tyrod Taylor. I expect this game to be somewhat of a shootout. Lots of points scored there. And Taylor's a safe option with his running ability. You know, it's only going to get 4 to 6 points from his legs. He throws one touchdown, 150 yards. You know, that's 12, 15 points. I'll take that. I don't see Carr doing much at all against Denver tomorrow. No Crabtree. Cooper's been, and even if Cooper's great tomorrow, he's still got to go up against that pass defense, which is really good. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is a start tomorrow over players like Derek Carr.
Yeah, if Willie Snead was healthy, I would have considered playing him over Amari Cooper, actually, in one league. But That's a done deal now with Crabtree and Snead combo. I'm just going to leave Cooper in there. 48.5 total on that Buffalo-Atlanta game. So good point on the Derek Carr thing. Washington dealing with all kinds of injuries still, George. Rob Kelly, Jordan Reed, Jamison Crowder all limited in Friday practice.
Yeah, they're going to be a fun team, right? And once again, Monday night game. Great.
Yeah. Listen, the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Yeah, you have Jordan Reed. I don't feel bad for you. Okay. All right. I mean, we all know this is a modus operandi, right? This is his MO for the past couple of years. Always questionable, always banged up. Great when he plays, not so much when he doesn't play. So I don't feel bad for you. Once again, I'm sitting him. You know, that's pretty much that simple. If I have Vernon Davis as my backup, well, then I can wait till 7 o'clock Monday night. If Reed plays, I start Reed. If Reed doesn't, I still go with Davis. But that's not a perfect situation either. What if Reed plays and he sucks? You know, and then you look, either way, you got a zero here. So I had Reed in two leagues. I started Zach Miller above them both. Didn't do much for me, but at least I got some points there rather than taking a zero there. Crowder, I think, plays, but you said it. KC and KC may not be pretty anyway. Kelly may also get in there with the rib cartilage injury. Samaje Perine is also going to play. So maybe not be the best game for him anyway against KC, but I do think he might play. But as you said, they're all limited. They're all going to be guessing games.
Yeah, really not ideal there at all. I can tell you that in my league where I have Rob Kelly, my options are Joe Mixon, Tevin Coleman. That's really it. Those are the guys I would start him over. I'm not going to put him in there. I mean, Golden Tate doesn't have a great matchup either. He's in the flex. So those are the types of guys I'm looking at. And I'm going to sit Kelly in favor of Mixon going up against the Browns and Coleman at home against the Bills. So just to give you a sense of, you know, our thoughts on it. Keep going down through the injuries. The Cardinals. George, I had the Cardinals over 8.5. I think I've been on record about that. It's not looking good right now, and the injuries are really piling up for them. Mike Iapati, their star guard, who was hurt most of last year, is on IR again now. So he's out for 8 weeks minimum. His backup, Alex Boone, is out 2 weeks. So they're dealing with a lot of issues. John Brown hasn't been healthy. The offensive line hasn't been healthy. A little banged up on defense, but not terrible. But bottom line is, we saw their struggles, and then they continue to be inefficient offensively.
Yeah, to take some guts to have L over 8.5 at Arizona after watching Carson Palmer last year. Credit that he played better in the second half. He actually played okay Monday night. Yeah, I don't know if it's actually his fault, but yeah, they have some issues there. Yeah, the defense is okay. That's probably a little better than okay, but the offense, without David Johnson, they're going to have problems. I don't think they have. Sorry, Mike. So John Brown, he might play on Sunday. Is that a good thing for anybody? You're not starting? Because I don't think he's going to play a full complement of snaps here. I think they're going to ease him back in here. So I'll pass on that. Palmer could be another play, though, here. If you're a Derek Carr owner and you don't want to start him, Carr, I think Palmer is in play against San Fran. We saw Goff light him up. Arizona's certainly going to throw the ball a whole bunch. So I think Palmer could be in play here for a one-week spot start.
Yeah, agreed. So to wrap up the injuries, Rex Burkhead, doubtful for the Patriots. I don't think that's an option that you can explore, even if you have him in your deeper leagues. A few defensive injuries. Sean Lee, questionable for the Cowboys. He's been really limited this week, George. So I don't know if you know anything further, but from what I've read, I think it's a – I can't call him doubtful. They have him listed as questionable, but we all know that that could go south for him if before the Rams.
He's unlikely.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, he's unlikely to play, and that will hurt Dallas because they're thin at line. They have a lot of injuries there. Tucker could have a better game here against the Cowboys. So I doubt Sean Lee plays. Did not practice yesterday. They keep listing as questionable, so I guess there's some hope. But in the end, I don't think Lee plays.
Yeah, Myles Garrett, number one overall pick in the draft, is questionable for the Browns to play against the Bengals. But this is really the first ray of hope that he might play. It's been.
I think they said he's out. I think that he's not going to play.
Oh,
they
really?
Hold him out one more week to make sure he's healthy.
I would have suggested that as well. I don't see the rush to bring him back, but in any event. So maybe that's a done deal. Detroit, a bunch of injuries. Kenny Golladay, Ziggy Ansah, Jared Davis. I know I'm doing defensive injuries, but I think it's important for you to know that the Vikings with Case Keenum, the Lions might be missing their best pass rusher and their middle linebacker. So at least it's a little bit easier for Keenum. Not that he needed any help last week. So That's it. Last thing, San Francisco, Reuben Foster, Eric Reed, starting safety and linebacker remain out. So that's it for the injuries. And I know we have a call, and we have from California. It is Chris with an RB question. Chris, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, man. What's going on? What can we help you with? You're up bright and early, so we appreciate the call.
Thank you. I'm trying to just, set my lineup because I got a London game tomorrow, and I might oversleep that one.
Yeah.
But I got – so I just need two running backs and a flex to start. And here we go. I got Amir Abdullah, Alvin Kamara, Chris Thompson, Terrence West, Deontay Foreman, Derrick Henry, and Josh Doctson. I'm not too sure on West's health status.
George?
All right. Yes, I did. Is this a PPR league or a standard league?
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to tell you guys that. It's a 12-man standard scoring.
All right, standard scoring. So that's somewhat unfortunate, as it does hurt Thompson's value there. All right. As for West's status, he's going to play. How much he plays or how good he is, that's a different kind of question. But he's healthy, or as healthy as he's been. So he's going to play. Tough matchup against Pittsburgh here. Two running backs in the flex. All right. I'm not going to start Doxon, not against KC. So I'm not going to take my chances there. Although I'd be more interested if we do lose if Crowder can't play, but we're not going to know that before game time tomorrow, so you can't go there. I'm going to go with my starters here. So I'm going to go with Thompson. He has been a big part of the Washington offense. Right now, it doesn't matter if it's standard or PPR. He's the only guy moving the ball back there. I think you have to go Terrence West. He is the touchdown guy there. It's a safe play. Comes down to Amara, Kamara for me. I'm going to go Kamara. He's the only running back I liked there in New Orleans. So I'll go Kamara, West, and Thompson. But I got to tell you, I'm not in love with this.
Yeah, you got a lot of mid-range options there to lower-range options, guys that are a lot of people's flexes. So it sounds like it's probably a deeper league. I'll sign off on what George said, basically, go with that. The Kelly news that we just went over hurts the Thompson situation because, say, Kelly, George, say he gets out there, even if he's not effective, even if they're limiting his snap count, to give him the ball five times, that just eats into Thompson's workload, one way or the other, right?
It actually does it because they're not using Thompson very much. They keep saying they want to watch his touches. They don't want to overwork him. So it actually doesn't hurt him. Really, it doesn't hurt him at all. So I'm not worried about who plays running back. It doesn't make a difference there. I would have rather a PPR league because that's where you get those four to six catches. But in this case, he's still gobbling up yardage. And as the running backs we named here, there's nobody else they was going to gobble up. I love Foreman for later in the year. I think eventually he might have to be the starter over Lamar Miller. Henry, not the greatest matchup there against Houston anyway with DeMarco Murray. Yeah, I think Mike said there's a whole lot of mid-range options here. It's going to be tough to pick the right three.
Yeah, the Foreman thing I agree with. He's looked good and looks like a guy that can take Miller's job, but it doesn't mean he's going to take it now. I just think it's a difficult thing to try to predict at the moment. So anyway, so George, one thing I did want to go over, I should probably give it a little bit more time, but it's something pretty big that happened in the industry this past week. And you saw an increase in the rake from FanDuel and DraftKings. Particular now, the rake, to those of you that are not initiated with DFS, the rake is just the percentage that the house takes, and in this instance, DraftKings and FanDuel. And George, it is increased in some instances to 16%, which basically means in those millionaire maker type contests and those Sunday million type contests, there's less winners. You're just going to have more money going to DraftKings and FanDuel off the top. There's less winners in those big tournaments. Now, it's the lower end of it, so to speak, but it does create a strategy conundrum for a lot of people that are putting in tons of lineups, and it makes the tournaments on a whole less profitable for the community of DFS players.
Yes, it does. Listen, this is what the free market does, right? People are going to raise their price than anybody else. It's the same thing. I know it sounds from a rake, but they're making more money and taking away stuff from the players. It's the way it is in regular business, too. You just need to be aware of it, that the game is not quite what it was, 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, and you realize it from there. As long as you're aware of it, you're still playing, then it's not a big deal. If you're unaware of it, that's where it becomes annoying, if you didn't know if they changed things. I'd say it's a 6% difference, so it's 6% less than the prize pool.
So, yeah, it's just something you need to be mindful of. I know it doesn't apply to everybody, but, you know, if you're playing head-to-head contests or, and you're playing 50-50s and that kind of stuff, you're safe. But on those tournaments, you're going to have less of a chance to win. That's the bottom line. Come back, close out the hour. George and I'll wrap up talking about DKMS and how you can get into a contest to win tickets to the Super Bowl after this.
Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package.
Welcome back. Pearl Jam, George. It's good stuff. Saturday mornings, Pearl Jam. It reminds me of tailgating in college. It really does. This is that album was ubiquitous. Tailgating back in the day. So, good times. We're going to get to a call in a minute, but first want to talk to you about DKMS. So those of you that have listened to this show and listened to the network have heard this read and heard this about this partnership quite often, but it's really had a huge impact. So that's why we continue to talk about it. And if you can go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS for me, I'd really appreciate it, because when you're there, you're going to be able to find out about DKMS and their mission to fight blood cancer. Our goal is to really have as many people sign up, learn about DKMS and what their cause is. You can enter the pool to be a bone marrow donor. I was on a show a couple of weeks ago where a guy called in and said he was a recipient of a bone marrow donation and it helped to save his life. So we're trying to use fantasy sports in order to help others. So go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS. You can make a donation. You can enter your name to be part of the bone marrow donation pool and just spread the word about the DKMS cause. Now, we also have another partner in this, and that's Fantasy Draft. So once you go to that link, again, rotoexperts.com/DKMS, you're going to find a link to Fantasy Draft. In there, we're having a free contest, a free DFS contest every week. It's free to play. And if you win in that particular week, you're going to be entered into the grand prize contest in week 17. The grand prize, which is, George?
A trip to the big game.
There you go. You sold it a little bit better that time. So you actually have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl, win two tickets to the Super Bowl in Minnesota, Super Bowl 52. So again, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. Go there. Play a free DFS contest. You have a shot to win two tickets to the Super Bowl. You got to be good to win, but, you know, such is life. You got to be good at a lot of things to win. So appreciate that. And we're going to wrap up this hour with a call. And the call is from Kentucky, and his name is Josh. Josh, what do you got for me?
Yes, I have a flex question.
All right.
I have Carson, Mixon, Landry, and Buck Allen.
Carson, Mitchell, Landry, Buck Allen. What's the scoring?
A point per 10 yards, 6-point touchdown, no PPR.
Okay.
Standard league.
Standard scoring. Okay. George, what do you got?
All right, standard league here. Now, this is some good choices here. I'll stay away from Javarius Allen. He's more valuable in a PPR than he is in a standard. I guess you can't go Carson here, even though I do like him tomorrow night. Landry, also more valuable. So it does come down to the running backs here in the standard league. Mixon or Carson here. Mixon against Cleveland tomorrow. You remember you mentioned no Myles Garrett. Is this his breakout game? I think it is, but there is some gamble there. I'm going Joe Mixon. That's the bottom line here. But I can't argue with anybody who thinks, let's stick with Carson against Indianapolis, not the best defense, and he scored touchdowns in back-to-back games. But I'm going with the upside of Mixon.
You actually have some pretty good options there. If Jarvis Landry was a little bit more of a touchdown scorer in general, you could consider him against a weak Saints defense, but this is standard scoring. We're going to lean towards the running backs every time. These are actually pretty good choices. Two terrible defenses that they're going up against generally. I would actually say the Browns defense might be a little tougher than the Colts, but I think I'll side with, I'm going to play Carson in one league. But I'm playing Mixon in the other. So who am I to decide? I can understand what George's choice. So let's go with Mixon, Josh. It's a close call, but I think you can't really go wrong. You got two good options there. So that's it. We'll take more calls after the break in the next hour. And George and I'll do all the game previews after this. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.